Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Connor Riley, describe to me what you saw Saturday. And if I'm not a dog fan, right, and I'm just watching this game casually, and I've heard all these things over the years about the dogs, and I said to somebody, if I told you, hey, you didn't know anything about these two teams, one of them had five sacks, nine tackles for loss, four forced fumbles, you say, well, Georgia dominated. But that's the numbers that Ole Miss put on the board defensively against Georgia.
Georgia straight up, Carl, got their behind whooped on Saturday. And you don't see that happen all that often. I would make the case that not even Alabama does what Ole Miss did to Georgia. I think you're 100% correct in saying the way that it went about. Look, Georgia couldn't run the ball all that well. I know Kirby Smart has said that they found some success there. The running backs had 68 yards on 22 carries. That's not, quite frankly, in my opinion, a very good measure of success there. And when you fall behind in the manner in which Georgia did, where they're down 16-7 at halftime, they're playing catch-up the whole second half, Ole Miss was able to pin their ears back and really attack what has been a beaten-up and now underperforming Georgia offensive line. I'm sure we're going to get Emmitt Carson back and the struggles there. The wide receivers, once again, did not have a great day. But quite frankly, from getting to see it firsthand in Oxford, Ole Miss won along the lines of scrimmage. Georgia had a sack on the first drive of the game. They didn't have a sack the rest of the game there. They won this game, ironically enough, as you point out, the way that Georgia so often goes about winning games. And I think that's what makes the loss sting all the much more.
And that's one of the things we brought up last week, Connor, is that Ole Miss invested in the trenches. I mean, they invested, period, with their NIL and getting kids in there. And it just it's rare. We said maybe the LSU-SEC championship game, that's the last time Georgia's looked this bad under Kirby.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the worst loss in terms of margin of victory since that loss to LSU. And while 28-10 was the final score, I don't think it indicates just how thoroughly dominant Ole Miss was on Saturday. The Georgia defense, I thought, played fine for the most part. But, you know, Georgia just putzed around there in the first half. And then in the second half, their first two drives, they get into Ole Miss territory and just find ways to not score points. And there are a number of issues with this Georgia offense right now. I think everything is on the table in terms of criticism and looking for answers and trying to figure out ways to go about doing things. I will note, and I'm sure this is going to come up by fans, by people out there asking, and I've held this belief, and it was at least good to hear Kirby Smart vocalize it. Carson Beck is still Georgia's quarterback. He is still the best option. He still gives them the best chance to win. And so for those expecting a quarterback change or hoping for a quarterback change, I would not anticipate that, as Kirby Smart very much outlined today.
I think that's the right move, too, despite his struggles. Here's the issue. He was never unable to throw the ball and threaten the Rebels down the field. So here's my theory behind this, and you tell me what you think. It's Connor Riley, Dog Nation, joining us here on Dukes and Bill on a Falcon Monday. More Falcons conversation coming up, and you'll hear Coach at 6. Because you don't trust him, because of the turnovers, when you go back the last four games, 3-2, 3-3, you are not allowing him to say, hey, we just need you to cut it loose and throw the ball 50 times this game and get us back into it. So you were conservative without being conservative. Does that make sense, Connor Riley, with what's going on with Carson Beck right now?
I agree with you, Cole. Some of this is, you know, the best way to mitigate an aggressive pass rush, which Ole Miss has, are that quick game. Get the ball out of your hands quickly. Get it to your playmakers in space, a lot of screens. I get that. I understand that. In the first half with what we saw, I think there's an extra level of conservatism where they didn't want Carson putting the ball in harm's way.
Correct.
6 of 10 passing for only 49 yards in that first half. They had a grand total of 70 yards of offense. And I know Kirby said, well, sacks impact that. Cool. I went back and did the math. Ole Miss had 2 sacks in that first half. So if you put those yards back in, Georgia had 86 positive yards of offense. That's still, quite frankly, not very good, especially when you're going on the road and facing a team of that caliber. So I think they were a little bit better in that regard in the second half in terms of pushing the ball downfield a little bit more. Look, the reality is, they are what they are at this point on offense. They only play 4 wide receivers. The tight ends have not, I believe, stepped up to the manner in which we thought they were going to. Trevor Etienne is banged up. They've got to put this game on Carson's shoulders. And I know that was scary against Texas. It was scary against Florida with the turnovers that he had. Georgia still found a way to win those games with Carson being aggressive. And I think this Saturday showed that's how you're going to have to play on Georgia. It could make you uncomfortable, but I'd much rather be uncomfortable and win than protect your quarterback and lose like the Bulldogs did this past Saturday.
I mean, that's just not winning football in the 2024 college landscape we live in. These games are high scoring, and you're right. And we had Danny Cannell on, was on the show Thursday, and he said, Bobo's got to let him cut it loose. So getting back to the other things you mentioned, the offensive line, is the depth, is this depth any worse or any better than it's been the last couple of years? I know we already talked about the defense and certainly a lack of depth there that we used to see. Is this as good as it's going to be offensively if teams try to take away the run?
You know, in terms of the offensive line, they're just, as Kirby Smart has outlined, and it's not an excuse because Georgia invests more than anyone when it comes to high school recruiting in the offensive line. But they're down to the third option at right guard right now with Tate Ratledge and Micah Morris both dealing with injury. We'll see how they progress this week and what they might be able to give. Ernest Green, their starting left tackle, who I don't think has had the season a lot of people anticipated. We learned today he's been dealing with a shoulder injury, and that very much backs up the way that he has played this far this season. Still, having said that, the offensive line has to play better than in the manner in which they did. They developed depth really well. They have talented guys out there. You know, Jared Wilson could well be the first center taken in this year's draft. Dylan Fairchild is going to hear his name called in the second round or third round of this year's NFL draft. They still got talent there. It was a combination of, yes, they're dealing with injuries on the offensive line right now, that's making some shuffling happening around. But they also just got their butt kicked and just did not play well enough to win on Saturday. And they're facing another stout defensive front this week in Tennessee. We're going to see how this offensive line meets the challenge because they've certainly come under criticism in the 48 hours since that game.
You know, all these games are different, Connor. But we saw this offense explode the way it did against Alabama early in the season, and it gave a lot of people hope that this was going to be a team that could score 40, 45 points a game. Have we seen the ceiling with this offense? I mean, is there more to it? And should we feel like, okay, heading into the stretch run here, the playoffs, whatever it's going to be, there's room to get better, but will we see it?
I think it's fair to wonder if this is the ceiling of the Georgia offense. Now, they could get Colby Young back. There was obviously the legal news last week that his accuser has asked for the case to be dismissed. We will see how the legal system goes about that. He is still currently suspended from the team. Mm-hmm. They're also missing wide receiver Anthony Evans, who I think brings an ability of speed and explosiveness that this offense is missing right now. And you put those two receivers potentially in the offense for Georgia, I think that's going to open some things up and at least give Carson some more weapons and some ability to throw the football down the field. But I don't think they're going to have either of those guys. We'll see about Anthony Evans as practice goes on this week. And they're going to have to find a way to win with what they have against Tennessee this weekend. If they win and they got a very tough game now on the 29th against Georgia Tech, that game is always going to be tough given how much I think this rivalry means to Brent Key. But they still got 2 very tough games ahead of them. But if they win those games, in addition to UMass in between, I still believe they're going to be in the college football playoff. But they got to find a way to win both of those.
And on the flip side, as Connor Riley joins us, guys, checking with Connor Riley, K. Connor Riley on Twitter from Dog Nation, the defense and the spacing. Carl and I were talking about it earlier. It seemed like yards after the catch. Did Ole Miss come with some stuff that they just weren't prepared for, just simply not executing? Because it just seemed like the linebackers got picked on, the corners, it just seemed like Ole Miss could get whatever they wanted.
The credit to Lane Kiffin and what his staff was able to scheme up. Charlie Weiss Jr., the offensive coordinator there at Ole Miss, They just got the better of Glenn Schumann. I think they did a great job of scheming Georgia's linebackers into space. It's not just guys like C.J. Allen and Tamon London who returned to the field that we saw in coverage. Guys like Chaz Chambliss, Jalen Walker, Damon Wilson, guys who, quite frankly, we haven't seen downfield in coverage all that often this season. The credit to Lane Kiffin, they did a great job attacking the middle of the field and trying to put some of Georgia's more inexperienced players, you know, K.J. Bolden, who gave up the touchdown, Janelle Aguero, his second season here in Athens. They just did a great job of scheming things up. And in that regard, I think that Glenn Schumann was the one that got beat more so than necessarily these players themselves.
All right, Connor. We got big games in front of us. Tennessee's going to be huge. It seems like their quarterback's going to be ready. And we're going to talk more about this throughout the course of the week. Where can people find your stuff?
Yep, follow me on Twitter at @KConnorRiley. We had a ton of stuff today, including just a very strange story involving Georgia safety Jake Pope, who was seen celebrating with Ole Miss fans on the field after the game. So make sure to tune in. We got plenty of stuff coming for you guys this week.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.